There are many people in American history who are well known, who are even esteemed and honored, but then you start hearing about their personal lives and you just see how they should not really be esteemed or honored. And one example is John F. Kennedy. Recently, of course, November 22nd, 1963 is when he was assassinated in Dallas, and about a month ago we celebrated, I guess that had been 60 years since that has taken place, or remembered 60 years that it had taken place. And I've been listening to this podcast, going more into depth in his life, that he and his father were serial adulterers. His father's name was Joe Kennedy. He had Irish background, Irish Catholic. I think his grandfather came over and settled here. And he ended up, Joe Kennedy, marrying, I think it was the mayor's daughter. And that gave him some really big political clout. He was also a really good businessman, made a lot of money. Ended up having 9 children with his wife. But he was notorious for having woman after woman after woman. There was even one instance where he went out to Los Angeles and ended up having an affair with a woman who was married. And then eventually he invited the woman and his wife, or her wife, along with her husband, excuse me, and along with his own wife and family on a trip to Europe. And these two couples went on Europe together as if nothing was wrong. His wife, Joe Kennedy's wife, knew what was going on, but she didn't want to pretend it was happening and tried to act like it wasn't. Well, during this whole growing up years, John Kennedy observed what was happening. It wasn't hidden. People knew. And what was presented before him was, this is the way husbands act. That the wives have to deal with it, the husbands do that, and there's no consequences for doing so. So sure enough, after he became an adult, he became notorious himself. In fact, after he got engaged to his wife, Jackie, he was cheating on her and cheating on her until their wedding day, and then cheated on her after their wedding. And this was what he was doing. He was imitating his father. He was shown by his father and encouraged by his father. Even afterwards, his father asked him, how are things going, type of thing. Encouraging him in this wickedness, in this evil. Instead of memorizing God's word, instead of knowing what God's truth said about these matters, they were encouraging each other in the lies of the devil, encouraging the passions of the flesh, the desires, the evil desires of the heart, and by doing so, they were unfaithful to their vows. And even though they are esteemed in political history and seen as being this great political family, no one would want to be married to him because he couldn't trust him to keep his word. Tonight we're going to continue our series in Psalm 119. And we're coming to the second stanza, verses 9 through 16. And as we look at this second stanza, we're going to ask the question, how can we guard our hearts? How can we keep ourselves from choosing to sin? If John Kennedy isn't a negative example, then what is the positive example? What are the precepts? What is the truth that we need to preach to ourselves in order to grow in practical holiness? So let's read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So the answer to our question, how can we guard our hearts, is this. Christians guard their hearts by memorizing God's word. Believers keep themselves from sinning by storing up God's truth. This is a very practical, simple, but neglected practice. Oh yes, we need to memorize God's word. We need to have it. We need to do it. But we don't typically, in my pastoral experience, people don't typically dedicate themselves developing a practice and habit of, all right, I'm going to try to memorize this verse this week. And then I'm going to keep coming back to it. I'm going to meditate upon it. Even in our counseling, in biblical counseling, one of the things that we assign people to do is to memorize a verse. We want you to think about it and memorize and be able to repeat it the next time we meet. I want you to write maybe five things that you learn or five ways that you can apply this to your life so that you're not just memorizing and not thinking about it, but you're thinking, memorizing, meditating upon God's truth. If you remember, Psalm 119 is the longest psalm and the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses. It's an acrostic psalm, so every eight verses begin with a new letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Last week began with the letter A. Each verse did. This week, each verse begins with the letter B. And almost every verse addresses God's word. And he uses many synonyms, precepts, law, truth, statutes. There is no human author given, but we know that it is God who has written it for us to expound and encourage us in esteeming God's word and memorizing it. So verses 9 through 11 looks at memorizing to guard our hearts. So how can a young man be pure? How can he keep his way? Especially in our day and age with pornography, with such lowering of standards among hookup culture and all that is going on. This is a pertinent question as temptation is lurking everywhere, including on your phone. So how can a young man keep his way pure? Even Solomon dealt with this issue, and he encouraged his sons to pursue godliness and holiness. That's why he wrote the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 5, verses 3 through 6, he talks about the woman who is sensuous and is trying to lure you in, just like a fly trying to catch the trout and get a hold of you and hook you in for your doom. And he says in Proverbs 5, verse 3, "For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it." So the prostitute trying to lure you in, and it's going to be your doom. So how do we stand guard against this? The answer is by guarding it according to your word. It's by memorizing the word. It's by having Bible intake so that when temptation comes, we will, by the power of the Spirit, remember God's truth and apply it. We will take every thought captive and say, no, God's word says this. And he warns that it will lead to doom. Also, by the very act of memorizing the Bible and meditating on the Bible, it transforms our thoughts and our minds and our desires. And so that's why it's so important. Many times we think, well, I have the Bible on my phone. I don't have to memorize Scripture. Well, how many people actually get out their Bible and to look up something when temptation comes? That's the problem. And the very act of memorizing changes our minds and our hearts and our desires. That's why in verse 10 he confesses his desire for holy living. He says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. The psalmist, being regenerate, being born again, being a lover of God, desires to live for Him. And this desire to live for Him comes out in wanting to obey His commandments. Not to be saved, but because it's telling us, what does God call holy and good? And what does call wicked and evil? So he is praying to God, God, please empower me. This is my desire. Help me, O God, to follow your commandments. This is why memorization can also aid in our prayer life. Or when we go downstairs and pray together, or you ladies upstairs, and we're thinking, well, I feel so dry. Well, take Scripture and use that to pray to God and as a springboard to God. And if we memorize Scripture, then we can incorporate that to help us to think of things to pray about and then pray for that maybe don't come naturally at the surface. And as a result, we then store up this truth. Kind of like when Mary stored up the truth when she heard and saw what God did through her with Jesus. I have stored up your word in my heart, says verse 11, that I might not sin against you. So the psalmist has spent time, hours, memorizing Scripture. He has made an investment where he's storing so that he will have this reserve for when times of temptation come. It's like the pioneers when they traveled west in the 1800s and before the railroad or even after the railroad, and they're setting up their homesteads. And winter is coming, and so they have to store up supplies because you do not have a grocery store in which to go to bail you out. So you need to do your canning. You need to get your meat prepared and ready to go. You need to have all kinds of other supplies for your candles and everything else. You need to have appropriate amount of food for your animals to get you through. You need to prepare well in advance for the winter months that are coming. In the same way, we have to prepare for when temptation comes, and we do that by day after day investing in memorizing Scripture. Why? Because our goal is to not sin against God, it says in verse 11, that I might not sin against you. The opposite is, how do I show love for God? Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we love God and we want to show love for God and we want to serve God, then we need to know His commandments and desire to keep them and grow in keeping them. So the best way to encourage us in that, one of the best ways, is to memorize those commandments, memorize that truth so that it's on our minds, it's on our hearts. But of course, we're not going to memorize Scripture if we do not delight in Scripture. That's what verses 12 through 16 show us, that the psalmist delights in God's Word. Now, many years ago, when I was 10 years old, I delighted in sports. I loved statistics. I loved baseball, basketball, football, hockey. One time I even sent in a question to the local NBC station because they had a trivia question. And I got it right. And I was like 8 or 10 years old. What year and what draft pick was Michael Jordan when he was drafted by the Chicago Bulls? It was 1984 and he was the third overall pick. It's hard to believe he was the third pick. But the first pick was Hakeem Olajuwon by the Houston Rockets. The second pick was Sam Bowie by the Portland Trail Blazers. But that's another thing. I was so overcome with all these statistics. Joe DiMaggio, Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Bob Gibson, and his great 1968 season where he had a 1.12 ERA. On and on it goes. I have all this statistics. So I delighted in those things. And so by delighting in it, I looked at the baseball cards. I watched stuff. I read stuff. And it became programmed in my brain where I know all these facts and figures and statistics about sports. So I loved it. We should do the same way, even more so with Scripture, if we delight in Scripture. We just don't have it printed, but it should be engraved on our hearts through memorization and delighting. So that's why in verse 12 it says, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. This is another, a prayer for understanding. So now we're going to another level. It's not just memorizing Scripture, We can memorize things and not know what they mean. Little children can do that. You can memorize a speech or memorize Shakespeare and not really know what it means. So it's going from a level of memorization to a level of understanding deeper. I can summarize. I can understand what this is telling me. So God, please give me illumination so that I appropriately handle your truth. An opposite example is Satan. Satan knows Scripture. Satan memorized Scripture, but Satan twists Scripture. And that's why when Jesus was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan quoted Scripture to him, quoted correctly Scripture to him, but then he twisted it to have the wrong understanding. Matthew 4, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Satan quotes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, in order to tempt Jesus. See, Jesus, this is what the Bible says, go ahead and do it. But he's twisting Scripture because Jesus comes back and says to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." So he was trying to cherry pick, Satan was, Scripture to tempt Jesus to sin. But since Jesus is God and knows Scripture in and out and knows and understands it perfectly, he says, "No, you're misquoting that text. Here's what another text says. Do not put the Lord God to your text, to your test." And so he rebukes him with Scripture from Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. That's why we need to know Scripture and understand it. Not just, "Judge not, at least not you be judged." Oh, look, see, I can throw that card down, and but people don't even know what it means. What's the context of that verse? And so then it moves on to memorization in verse 13. Through vocalization, "With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth." So the psalmist is speaking out God's rules. He's speaking it out loud. And this is a means of memorizing the Bible. This is something I use. I'll go into that in more detail in a minute. And it can also be a fruit of memorizing Scripture. That you've memorized and stored in your heart, so now in your prayers, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you think of that verse and you pray it. Or when you're having counseling or talking with people and you speak these words. "Oh, this is what the Bible says here. This is what the Bible says here." And we quote God's truth. And this all stems from delighting in Scripture. Verses 14 through 16. "In the ways of your testimonies I delight, as much as in all riches." The psalmist looks at God's word, and he looks at gold, silver, and everything else, and says, "I delight in your word as much as I delight in riches. I delight in a 401k that's hundreds of thousands of dollars as much as I delight in your word." Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Whether it's going antique shopping and finding good antiques, diamonds. There's a guy that found a diamond at a park in Arkansas recently. Going to a museum and seeing Van Gogh, Manet, Monet, all these other paintings. Seeing great and glorious architecture. Having baseball cards like I had with Tony Gwynn and Paul Molitor and Ozzie Smith and those guys. Gold or silver, we should delight in God's Word supremely. So then, once again, we meditate on God's Word because we delight in God's Word. Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." So meditating comes from delighting. If I'm delighting, I'm thinking, I'm bringing it up over and over about God's truth. The more we delight in God's Word, the more we'll be moved to memorize God's Word. This memorization then leads to meditating, where we are fixing our eyes. We are looking to the Word of God, not to some premonition, not to some new manna, new truth, some false prophecy that people are trying to bring about and say it's God's word. No, we're looking to God's truth and saying, I delight in this. I feast on this. I desire this. I want this. In verse 16, he is resolved to continue to delight in it. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. He's saying, I'm never going to stop enjoying your word. I'm going to keep enjoying it more and more and more. I'm not going to forget your word. So I need to memorize it and continue to memorize it. I need to continue to study and understand it. I know this can be overwhelming. We think of all the truth here and think of all the different verses we can memorize and like, where do you begin and how do you start? But if you've ever started a new job, you've probably been overwhelmed at times and like, how do these people do what they do? I remember when I started for the Illinois Department of Revenue in their call center, and we had to go through the different Illinois tax forms and the different procedures and then how to handle the phone system. And then we were thrown onto the phones, and about every couple of calls I'd have put someone on hold and go and talk to a supervisor. Here's the question. Oh. And then come back and come back and come back. And like, how can I ever get my hands, my arms wrapped around this? It feels like a huge oak tree, and I can't put my arms around it because there's just so much information. And I had to keep bringing my folders down and opening them up and looking stuff up. And guess what? You fast forward 6 months, and it's like, you have it. Because 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, you are doing this over and over. You start getting the same questions. You start remembering it. And through repetition and remembering it, now you have it down. And you don't have to get up and ask the supervisor's questions anymore unless it's something that's, you know, really uncommon. And it wasn't because we were smart. There were 30, 40 people in there that could do this. It was because of the consistency of over and over and over doing it and exposing yourself. In the beginning, it was hard. It felt like a mountain you're about to climb. But over time, we were able to get there. And that's how it is with Scripture memorization. And up front, you think, how can I do this? But if you just focus on 10 minutes a day, every day, by the end of the year, you might have, if you do one verse a week, you could have 52 verses memorized. So this is something that we need to get back into the meat and potatoes of Christian life, of Scripture memory. So where do you begin? Well, the first suggestion I would have, it would be with our bulletin. In our bulletin, we always put in a Scripture passage to memorize. And these passages come from an app called Fighter Verses, or fighterverses.com or org. It's through Desiring God. They have a 5-year plan of verses that are really good verses that deal with different subjects. And over the course of those 5 years, if you memorize these verses, you're going to memorize hundreds of verses, and then you can keep repeating it and going over there. That's one place to start. You don't have to start there. They also have an app you can put on your phone so you can bring it up. Fighter Verse app. How should you do this? Through consistency and perseverance. So how do you get good at anything? How do you get good at playing an instrument, a musical instrument? It's not playing it once every couple of weeks. It's doing it consistently and persevering in it. And so this is now how we should do a habit of memorizing the Bible. When I memorize a verse, I take my bulletin, I put it in front of me, and the first day, what I do is I speak the verse out loud 10 times, including the reference, and then I cover it and try to speak it out 10 more times without looking at the reference. So today, I'll look at it and just say, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Matthew 22:37. And I'll do that 10 times. And then I'll cover it, and I'll try to do it 10 times without looking. And the first few times, you have to cheat. That's day one. Then I go to day two, and on day two, I just do it 10 times without looking. And I have to have some help, but I do it 10 times. Then day three, I try to do it a couple times without looking. And then day four, I try to do it a couple of times. Day five, well, and then I keep reviewing it daily until I have it down. And so the first couple of days, it takes, you know, 5-10 minutes. But then the next day, days after that, takes just 30 seconds. And then I incorporate the previous verses and go over it so that I'm always bringing those up and going through maybe 40, 50 different verses throughout a week. And see, by doing this, you're slowly ingraining. You're going from short-term memory into long-term memory. And God will use that to help you to grow in knowledge and understanding. When should you do this? Well, you should begin when you're young. Oh my. You look how when you're young, your brains are like sponges. And that's why with our children, we should begin with them as soon as possible so that they can store up these things in their hearts. Even hymns. How many times you go to a nursing home and people say, well, I know that hymn because I learned it when I was a little girl. And they haven't forgotten it since then. So that's why parents, we as parents, need to make it a practice to teach our children scripture memory. It's also why we can do catechism too, because then it's bringing into the understanding. What does this mean? What's the big idea of the whole Bible? Who is God? Who is man? What is salvation? So they can learn that too. But it's also for those of us who are middle-aged or those of you who may have some gray hairs. I think one of the lies of Satan is I'm too old to learn something new. No, you're not. Now, it may be more difficult, but there's a lot of fruit to sitting down and looking over the verse and meditating upon it 5 minutes a day. You can even cut it out and put it on a 3x5 and just keep going over it. That's going to bear fruit in your life. It may take you a little bit longer than these 5-year-olds who can do it just like that, snippety-snap. But it's going to be spiritually good for you. So, do not give up. Keep persevering. And what is the end for memorizing Scripture? It is to guard your heart against sinning against God. Isn't that worth it? Don't you want to guard your heart? Don't you want to grow in holiness and godliness? Don't you want to show love for God? Like, God, I love you. So I want to do what I can to guard myself. And we have people who dedicate their lives to guarding the United States of America from being attacked by terrorists or by foreign powers. And that's because they love the country and they love the people and they want to make sure that we have safety and security. How much more should we want to guard, as John Bunyan had, where he talked about the eye gates, the ear gates, the mouth gate, the nose gate, all these different gates, sensories of how we are bombarded by temptation. Don't we want to guard against sin by memorizing God's Word? And that the whole impetus behind it is that if we delight in God, we will delight in His Scriptures. When we first find someone that we are attracted to, and then we start to get to know them, and we start writing to them, don't you delight in their words? Don't you delight in the letters they give you? Don't you delight in the conversations that you have, and you go over and over and over in your mind what they said and how they said it? How much more should we delight in God, who has given His Son for us, who died on the cross for our sins, and who has given us His infallible, perfect, holy Word, and that Word is the sword that we use, the offensive weapon, to stand against the schemes of the devil. So let us persevere, let us be consistent, and this new year, let us delight in setting aside time to learn God's Word and to hide it and to store it in our hearts. Well, let's go pray.